hope to take the car to work. And I'll start by saying, this is Jack Frio. The date is October 13th, 1976. It's shortly after 2 o'clock. I am in Old Main in the office of Dr. M.J. Rutter, familiarly known as Jack. I might say I have the faintest idea whether M is a misprint or whether you really carry around a spare initial for some purpose. In any event, Dr. Rutner's title officially in the 1976 catalog, in any event, is Dean of Graduate Studies and Extension Services and Professor of Education. I might say, Doctor, that I have found several times that what the catalog says isn't quite semantically correct. If it's not, please correct it. Dr. Rutner, may I use the Jack? Perhaps we'll get confused there.
All
Jacks, Jack and Jack. Could we start, perhaps, with something personal, where you came from to Westcott and what preceded your time at Westcott?
Prior to coming to Western Connecticut State College, I was superintendent of schools in New Milford, just a little ways up the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I had taught here on a part-time basis prior to that. So I was familiar with the institution.
What time would this
This would be in 1966-67, where I taught, when I taught here. I was superintendent of schools from 1963 to 1968 in New Milford.
Mm-hmm. And you taught
I taught education courses here in 66 and 67.
And
I came here as the Dean of Administrative Affairs. And after 3 years, I decided that was not to my liking. And I was changed over to the teaching faculty, and also worked in the graduate office.
In order to be to return to closer identification with the learning function?
With the learning function itself. And subsequently, I became dean of the graduate school, and have been functioning that way.
Now that would be since?
Well, officially it would be since 70. Well, actually, I took over the position in 72, mm-hmm. without the title.
I see. Since I think the catalog for 71, 73 refers to you as professor of education.
Right.
And then I have a gap in my catalog that they hope to fill, 74 to 76,
right.
More formally identifies you,
right.
In the hierarchy. The title, Dean of Graduate Studies and Extension Services. Could you tell me what this broadly covers?
Basically, you're the person who's in charge of all graduate programs, plus all part-time programs. So if a student is going to school part-time, whether it's day or evening, he belongs in our division.
Mm-hmm. Now,
if he's a graduate student, he belongs in our division.
Mm-hmm. Is this what the term extension means?
Yes. At that point, an extension student is differentiated as being a part-time student. It also means we give courses outside, away from the college, which we've done sometimes.
Now these courses away from the college, these would be what would go on?
Oh, it would vary with what people might request of us that we could fulfill. We've given courses in Norwalk, we've given courses over in New York State, we've given courses up at Winstead. It would depend on, you know, who's asking and when, and can we actually supply the staff member.
Uh-huh.
In that particular category.
I hadn't actually anticipated getting into this, but is there an identification of extension services, a marked identification with the growing business?
Yes, there's right now, as a matter of fact, we have a big ongoing program for just this purpose.
And these?
We have a new dean. Mr. Wagner, who is dean of extended program. That's exactly right. He'll be taking these programs off campus in many cases, right to industry itself. As a matter of fact, we have one going this semester in applied mathematics, given at Perkin Elmer.
Oh, yeah. That's one that I'm sure I would never enroll in. Graduate studies, I presume this means studies that one undertakes, having completed one's undergraduate work and having received the baccalaureate degree. Does it include studies at what we think of as the graduate level for persons other than those who have attained the baccalaureate degree?
No, basically, you would have to have a baccalaureate degree to go into the graduate level. However, we do make exceptions for upper-level seniors who have a good CUNA. So that's an exception in that sense. But generally speaking, no, people all have a degree to begin the graduate level.
An older person, for example, let's say, has always been fascinated by history.
No, we would not. That person can come into our undergraduate program, not into our graduate program.
On a purely course-by-course basis.
No, you have to be undergraduate.
Another question that had occurred to me, and this would relate to the fact that as one moves, as I have, in learning something about the school's history from 1904, with a lot rather limited curriculum of drawing and penmanship and other things that were important in terms of teacher preparation at the time, to today's catalog, which heaven knows how many pages it takes, we appear to be becoming increasingly a graduate-type institution. Now, I would say that it's my impression, this tends to be true of American higher education generally, that the undergraduate level seems to be increasingly regarded as the underlay for the real learning which will take place once one moves on into the graduate area. What proportion of our enrollment is in this issue?
Well, if you're just talking about the graduate and extension program, it's roughly 50% of our enrollment is graduate.
Now, graduate and extension, these...
The graduate and extension, we're thinking of the part-time people. 50% of those people are graduate students.
50% of the total of graduate?
Of the total part-time people are graduate students.
Definitely working toward a...
Most of them are working toward a degree. We have some who just take courses. They're perfectly welcome to do that, too.
I had wondered to what extent this represented a two-way street, if that's an appropriate term. Thinking of Westcon as an undergraduate institution preparing students for other graduate schools. Does this...
Yes, we do that too, of course. Quite obviously, all of our students who graduate from here with a bachelor's degree don't come into our master's degree program. They go elsewhere as well.
Does this fall into your function in terms of an advisory role?
Yes, our office handles that because we run many programs at night where you can get your bachelor's degree just going in night school. And that's part of our extension program as well.
And then you would also serve an advisory function for going on to medical school, law school,
whatever it happens to be.
I met yesterday with Bill McKee and had some questions on the numbers, the success, if you will, of Westcon graduates and going on to other graduate schools. He referred me, I believe, to Mr. Deegan for these figures.
1967 to 1972.
Is this in terms of what they do?
What they thought about our program. Are they going for a doctorate or some other form? reflecting on the program that they did have, what would they like to suggest to us, you know, perhaps to help us improve ourselves? So we do run this kind of a survey.
A graduate studies program, formally identified as such, would go how far back in the school's history?
I believe it's 1965.
65.
Formally.
When we were still Danbury State College.
Right. It was 65 that we,
Well, this would be then the approximate date when a graduate studies program per se was identified in the I can search the catalog for this. Was there a history before this of providing graduate courses?
Well, there were different forms of it in the extension area. You have to check back through the catalog. We don't go any back. We have them here, by the way.
The catalogs, relating specifically to
graduate and where they were mixed in with the undergraduate. One time it was all one catalog.
Yes.
So we could check that as well.
Well, I can do that, or even I have a lecture at two student assistants, so I'll ask them to go in here. I was interested, among other things, in whether before there was something identified as a graduate studies program.
I believe the official one was 65.
Mm-hmm. But prior to that time, there were courses that might have qualified by credit elsewhere?
I would think so.
And the field of education as such is one that I'm going to have to learn a great deal more about for purposes of the history.
I have to check the old catalog to give you the exact
We'll find that. Westcon, vis-a-vis the other state colleges, are we in about the same position as they? Have we taken a lead?
We provide the services for our area. We're all in about the same relative position.
In relation to the University of Connecticut, now they, of course,
we have more graduate students at the university. The four state colleges collectively have more graduate students than the University of Connecticut. We're actually larger.
Now, would this be, among other things, because the university more nearly formalizes its graduate studies in terms of a law school?
They have more full-time students probably than we do.
Yeah.
But I think overall we have more students than the four state colleges.
Has any of the state colleges adopted a day program of day?
Oh, yes. Depending, well, Southern has a big program and Central has a big program where they can support both day and evening.
Mm-hmm.
And it would depend on the specific program.
Mm-hmm.
At one time, we had some full-time day programs, teacher certification, for example.
I see.
But we no longer have that. So basically, our programs are evening.
Can you tell me why we don't have
that? Well, obviously in today's market, there isn't that great demand for someone to go into the teaching field.
Oh, I see.
And so, over a period of time, it was, the job market is such that if a student wants to get a teaching certificate, he can now still take our undergraduate program and get a second bachelor's degree and earn his teaching certificate. So we have a vehicle for it, rather than carrying it out on the graduate level as we did once before when there was a shortage.
I see. This is a field that I found quite interesting. I think it was a 1930 report of the Secretary of the Board of Education that I came across referenced last week to the introduction of a third year of the normal school program at New Haven. With the board thinking that it would be doing something similar at the other normal schools. What particularly fascinated me is, I forget whether, well, Mr. Hines may have been out of the picture by this time, whoever the secretary was, reports on the wide approval this change has received from the public, from the press, from the school, the students. And he says it will greatly help to alleviate the present overpopulated teaching field, because we'll keep these classes off the market for one more year. The kind of practice that one doesn't normally see in state report. Given credit to the increase from a two-year to a three-year, four-year cycle to a greater demand on the part of the parents and of the community for better prepared teachers. And this did somewhat surprise me.
I'd like to correct one statement I made earlier, using 1965 as the date for the graduate program. I think I'd rather go back to 1955. Of course, we did have graduate students then.
I think 55 stuck in my mind.
55, right, not 65, 55.
And it was for this reason that I raised my question, formal versus informal.
Right. In other words, we did have graduate students in 55 itself.
Would there have been a position, however, such as that of dean of graduate
students? I don't believe so at that time. I don't believe that was the formal position.
Yeah.
But again, we had to go back and research the catalogs.
This was the impression I had, that if it was not informal, it certainly hadn't been formalized.
Right. I think the formalization came later.
Many of the people I have talked to thus far, not only associated directly with the school, but such, I gather, long-time friends of the school, as Clark Collins, Bill Rashford, and so forth, I have spoken with the regret of the new campus, talking to Dr. Oss. You know, going back over 40-odd years, her most satisfying achievement, the thing she wished most she had accomplished, seeing for the future and so forth, brought all wrapped up in her answer in terms of the new campus. Would, or will, if you see the new campus still somewhere down the road, will this have a significant effect on the college's graduate training?
Yes, it would. It would give us, well, first of all, it would give us a broader base of undergraduates, because we could really increase in enrollment, having better facilities, having dormitory space and things of this nature. So we'd have our own base, let alone we'd have a more attractive campus, which is certainly conducive. Whereas now, we can't really house any graduate students, as an example, because all the space is needed by the undergraduates. So I would say if we had the new campus, we'd have facilities and availability of operating new programs in addition to the ones we have now.
Had plans been actively underway? Everything I've read thus far, in terms of brochures and so forth, is not at all in terms of a subjunctive, if we have a new campus. Everything was pitched to, in 74, this is going to happen, in 75, in 77, right on to 1985.
Right.
Had there been definite plans for the incorporation of new graduates?
Yes, we had talked about this consistently. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, we just received approval for a new Master of Arts degree in Oceanography and Limnology. That's in effect as of right now.
Huh.
It's just been approved within this past week or two. So it's this ongoing kind of thing, and then of course, with proper facilities, there are many other programs that.
Will any of these programs, or will the whole thing be formalized into something that will be identifiable as a graduate school?
Hopefully, no. This is for my own opinion. We find that we work better when we see a total operation, grad and undergrad. And somehow when you have only a graduate school, you kind of get divorced from the other people. And our success has been built on both sides, where we've worked both the undergraduate and the graduate. And it's a good working relationship. And so we each see each other's problems. Even though we have a separate graduate council who sets policy, you know, body sets policy for the graduate group. Nevertheless, they're aware of some of the other problems, you know, that do come up. So as a separate graduate school, I don't know that I really want to see that at this point.
And presumably a separate graduate school automatically becomes a series of schools that work, not necessarily theology, right. But business administration as well. So then we are woefully short in Connecticut in some of these fields. I don't know where they stand on theology, but certainly have a personal wish that the law facilities, which I know all of why presently are in Connecticut. One thing that I have understood, you might want to correct this if it's incorrect, is that graduate studies in nighttime or extension activities per se have to pay their own way.
Is that correct? That's correct. We're self-supporting.
Self-supporting.
We do not receive any monies from the state.
I see. Does this have as its opposite a greater freedom for the school in initiating programs?
Yes. I would say that basically the fact that we have to supply the funds, the question of where will the money come from is simply answered. Either we have it or we don't have it. And of course, if we have the funds to supply the faculty member, it's a lot easier to initiate a program.
Is this true of the summer school as well?
Yes. Summer school and evening are lumped together.
Mm-hmm. So you don't budget these in terms of state approval?
Well, it still goes, it all goes through the state anyway.
Yes.
It's just that you have, you know, you do your own budgeting as long as you're within your income.
Mm-hmm. And on graduate summer other activities, if the income didn't materialize, the activity goes up.
Well, this is what you have to judge over the course of the year.
I see. Well, that gives me the, well, the background, I would say, that I was seeking on the nature of our graduate program. How is it?